I've noticed the consumption, the way we consume learning, that even just what we would typically call blended learning and going to the classroom. So I think the speed in which we have to deliver learning to our consumers is the biggest change I've noticed.
You're listening to Learning Leader Spotlight, interviews with corporate L&D leaders. On each episode, we sit down with key industry experts to discover more about what's happening in the world of learning and development, from current trends and insights to the most valuable lessons learned along the way. Join us for a fresh perspective on all things training and the best direction forward. Here's your host, Leanne Lankford.
Hi, welcome to Learning Leader Spotlight, the podcast where we interview the learning leaders of today to help the learning leaders of tomorrow. I'm your host, Leanne Lankford. I'm the president of Training Pros. Training Pros is a learning and development contract staffing company. We like to say at Training Pros, when you have more projects than people, let us find the right consultant to start your project with confidence. I am really excited today. Our guest is someone that I've known for several years, and I'm excited to get to interview her finally, Ms. Theda Riggins Crawford. She's the Director of Global Learning and Development at Manhattan Associates. Welcome, Theda.
Thank you so much. Excited to be here.
We're thrilled to have you. Let's just jump right in, and why don't you tell our audience a 60-second overview of who you are and what you do.
Well, I am a super excited leader of learning and development, where I have the pleasure each and every day to upskill our people skills at Manhattan. So all things professional development. I head up our leadership programs and develop our leaders. And that's pretty much in a nutshell what I do on a daily basis, meet with vendors, look for vendors to help us implement our programs, as well as I'm responsible for our learning management system, typical learning leader responsibility there. So that's what I do.
It sounds like a fun and interesting job. What first attracted you to learning and development?
You know, that's a great question, because I don't think back then for sure people went to college to become a leader of learning and development. I remember just wanting to go to school and someday work in New York City and be somebody's manager. That's just kind of how life was for me. And so when I finished school, I remember being in New Jersey working at a place called Pershing. It was a division of Donaldson, Lufkin, and Jeanneret. So that's more on the Wall Street side of things. And I used to work in the tax reporting department, believe it or not, working with large clients with their 1099s each year for tax reporting purposes. And I remember a VP said to me one day, "You are not using your gifts closed in this back office every day. Would you like to do something different?" And I said, "You know, I would, but I'm just not sure what that is." And he told me, he said, "Why don't you go out on our intranet and see if you see any jobs that attract you?" Well, lo and behold, there was a job in the global learning department that struck my attention. And I told him, I said, "You know, I like this job, but I don't know about all the travel," because by then I had two little girls. And so he said to me, he says, "Well, just let's just look at it." He said, "Because it might not be travel away from home. It might just be you're not in the office all the time." So he talked to the leader of that particular group, and she agreed to interview me. I put together a presentation, interviewed, and the next thing I know, I was a trainer in learning and development, and the rest is history.
It's a great story. And you're right. When I was going through college, there was no degree program to enter the field of training. You just ended up in training because you liked it. You happened to get something, assignment at work or something that was training adjacent, or you got to train something when you're like, "Wait, I like that."
Exactly. Exactly. And I love people. So it was just a natural fit at that time. Who would have thought, you know, and being such a young person in that field and what I was doing, I was training money managers and brokers how to buy stocks and bonds and build those trade blocks out in the technology that we offered, and then send those trades over to the exchanges for execution. So I would walk into a room and there'd be a bunch of seasoned men. I'd be the only woman. Sometimes they'd probably be like 60 to 100 men in the room. And they're looking at me like, what can she show us? And I'm thinking, what can I show them? But by the time I left the room, it was, wow, thank you for coming. Now we're set. We're ready to go. So yeah, it's definitely been an interesting journey.
That's a great story. And I bet you have some great subject matter expertise you could share on other topics, though we're not going on those today. But I do remember that because I worked financial services as well, way, way back in the 90s. I used to travel for the Federal Reserve System. And I was often the only one in the room.
Yes. Whew.
It was a different time.
Very different.
So you've been in this field a while, like I have. What are the biggest changes you've seen in maybe the last 5 years in learning and development?
Wow. I think learning is just like everything else in life. It's just moving fast. Everybody wants to consume learning fast. A lot of times I'm noticing people don't, either they can take the time that we used to be able to take because of work demands and pressures and family and different things. So what I think I've noticed is really the consumption, the way we consume learning, that even just what we would typically call blended learning and going to the classroom, a lot of that has scaled down quite a bit because you have the headways of the world and the Blinkist. You can get your book summaries and things like that. So I think the speed in which we have to deliver learning to our consumers is the biggest change I've noticed.
You make a lot of good points. So I have some Gen Z children and they're super fast on when they want to learn something. It's in just a few moments. They've looked it up, they've watched it, and they're moving on. I'm like, you know, where's the thoughtful reflection? Where's all of those things that we were trained to do? Yeah. And I do those things like Blinkist and the, you know.
Yeah. And even AI, I mean, think about it. 5 years ago was not the biggest introduction, right, into the learning world. But today, talking about Gen Zs, wow, I can relate to you. I have a millennial and a Gen Zer, and it's interesting. I had to write a speech for a graduation. I was giving a commencement speech at the City of Refuge here in Atlanta last year. And I said to my daughter, I said, I know what I want to say, but for some reason, I'm just having writer's block. I can't pull it together. She says, oh, Mom, I'll use ChatGPT and I'll get back to you.
It definitely helps if it helps you get your wording right, if you know what you want to say. One of the things I've noticed with experimenting with it is it doesn't always know the answer and it gives you the wrong answer. So you have to know what you're talking about when you use it.
Exactly. Which is great because it still shows us we still have to have that human side of things, right? So while I love it, I totally agree with you. You don't always get the right answers. And so you still have to be careful. You still have to do some research. Still got to read. Got to listen. So, yeah.
Yes. Let's keep the humans involved. So on that note, what are the biggest changes you anticipate coming into our field in the next 5 years?
Honestly, I have to say the use of AI for sure. That is a definite. I also think that when we talk about learning platforms in terms of like the learning catalogs that we use as organizations, I think we're going to start to see a shift in those. And what I mean by that is you see lots of the larger vendors, you know, they offer a plethora of content. I mean, it's a ton of content because remember, it was always, I want more, I want more. If you give me one communication skills class, well, I want to know somebody else's opinion on that communication skills class. Or I want to know, could it be taught a different way? And I think what's happening is they're becoming so massive that it almost creates a bottleneck for learners because you can't really hone in on the exact course that you need for a particular topic sometimes. So I think what's going to happen with the learning platforms is that the content is going to become more tailored to the users versus, you know, let's just kind of put a lot of content out there and let them just have their say, let them just choose whatever. If it's not, I'm hoping that it will be because that has been a major thorn in my side for quite some time, just trying to help learners decide, okay, is this the better communication skills course for me? Is this the better negotiation skills class that would help learning leaders? So hint, hint, content vendors.
That's good information. And yeah, maybe some content vendors might be listening to this podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Training Pros, the award-winning contract staffing agency that works exclusively with learning and development professionals to match the right consultants to client projects. If you're in corporate L&D and have more projects than people, let the industry practitioners at Training Pros provide you with the right L&D consultant to start your project with confidence. Find out how we make finding quality consultants easy by scheduling a consultation at www.trainingpros.com.
This is a question that's near dear to my heart because I think this is an important role for us to have. Can you tell us about your most influential professional mentor you've had in your life?
Yes, that is a very good question. And it probably was about 2-3 leaders ago. I will say I've had some great leaders to pour into me, but James Whitley, and he was based in Oregon. I was in New Jersey, and he hired me to transition over in my previous organization to move to the Georgia area to start a training team in the online banking and mobile banking space. And so he was just such an awesome leader because he challenged me, even at this stage in my career, to really hone in on my critical thinking skills and to be more strategic. And he didn't mind sharing and giving me insight. He didn't mind me challenging him. And we could have those crucial conversations, but because we knew we had the same end goal in mind, we would find that happy medium where we were able to make a significant impact on our clients. Second to him, though, I have to mention Cheryl Nash, who lives in New Jersey. She was my leader, and I knew her before she even became a CEO of an organization, but she was always such a breath of fresh air and just an awesome person, and never mind sharing, no matter how high up she went, whether it was CEO, president of company, whatever it was. And she would always give back, which just warmed my heart all the time. And I can call her to this day. Same with James, we should call him Jamie. I could call either of them today if I have a question, if I run into an issue, and they're always open to give me advice and continue to pour into me.
Those are two great stories. I love that you had two mentors that really helped you with your career. I encourage everybody in our listening audience that if you haven't gotten a mentor in your career, get one.
So true.
And then when you get to be, seasoned, then it's time to be a mentor to someone.
Exactly. Exactly. I think I have about 4 mentees right now.
That's great. And I see so many formal mentorship programs now in organizations. I love that we're actually making it a part of your job now to volunteer to be a mentor.
Exactly.
So in today's world, everything's changing. What is one of the most critical skills or most important skills that you look for now in someone in L&D?
If you had asked me this question a while ago, the answer would probably be totally different, right? Because we focus so much on certain skills. But honestly, I believe skills can be taught, but being human-centered, being a servant, which are huge things we hear, right, from Ken Blanchard, John Maxwell, all of the greats. I think those are things that, yes, you can become better at, but you have to be open and willing. And so honestly, when I talk to people, when I'm interviewing, I need to know that you have that type of compassion for people. Because if you don't have a passion for people, learning and development is not the business for you to go into for many reasons. One, because you have to put people in front of everything you do, whether you're designing a course, whether you're standing in front of people facilitating, even if you're creating a manual, you have to always put the learner first. So I look for people who are people-centered, human-centered, who want to put people first, and then we start talking about the skills. And so I think for, not just learning, I just think leadership, anything from here on out, that's where we have to be just as a world, a universe, right? That's where our thoughts have to be. And then we think about, okay, it's great. Now let's start talking about those skills like instructional design, facilitation. But next to the people skills is definitely someone who can command a room. Because if you can't command the room, that's a challenge.
So couldn't agree more about people. You have to be about people to be an L&D. Somebody who is not thinking of others all the time and giving and wanting to connect, they're never going to make it in our field.
Exactly. And that's, you said, like you hit the nail on the head when you said connect, because that's what it's all about. You stand in front of folks all day, but if you can't make that connection, you lose people from the time they walk in the door.
Yes, I agree. So maybe you can give insight to our audience about where you get your industry news and information.
Everywhere. And I know that sounds so, but that's kind of blanket, but everywhere. Because I just don't believe that there's one source that will make you the best in what we do. We have to look at different sources. I mean, one week it could be Harvard Business Review. I'm looking through articles. Another week it could be me going back, taking a look at what I've learned and then looking for additional information from some of the greats in our space, the leadership and learning space. Gartner, for sure, I get information from there because their research is very well respected. But I'm just always a reader. I'm always going to pull up some book. I'm always going to go on LinkedIn and see what's happening on LinkedIn. What is this author saying? And one of the things that's so impactful I've noticed in the last few years, which keeps me digging for more information, is emotional intelligence. And, you know, helping people raise their emotional quotient. And so I'm always digging for some new book or some new research on emotional intelligence. And so I say everywhere because I search everywhere until I find what I need. So you might have this thing that I need, but then somebody over here has this other thing that I need. So I don't lock myself into one source.
I think that's a great answer. One of the things about our field is just with the rapid pace of change going on in it. Even if you have a PhD in the field, you still have to be learning every day to stay current.
Yes, every day. And I'll tell you one of the other places I get a lot of information, and it may sound strange, but I talk to the different generations, especially the younger generations. They keep me in the know. Hey, listen, this is what we're looking for. This is how we like to consume learning. So not just those books and articles and websites, but actually talking to learners who might not think the same way I think.
Great suggestions for sources, great suggestions for things for our learners to do. So what is one book that you would recommend to anyone who wants to become a learning leader?
Start with Servant Leadership. That would be my one book. And I'm Ken Blanchard biased. I know I use that word biased. There it is. But Ken Blanchard and John Maxwell are two of my favorites for many reasons. But Ken Blanchard, I remember having a conversation with him years ago at an ATD conference. That was back when it was ATD before the TD. And we started talking about his release of Servant Leadership. And he talked about the reason why he wrote the book and what it really meant to him. And I remember being at this learning conference thinking, I'm about to go into tears because I'm learning from one of the greats. And what he's saying, you know, it just so touches me on many levels. And so I think if you can be a servant leader, like you could be any type of leader in any space, should I say. So I would recommend any leadership book. Servant Leadership, let that be your first book. And I could give you about 50 books, but I'm going to say Servant Leadership to start.
That's a great recommendation. Definitely, I haven't read it in a while. Maybe I need to pull it up on my blink list. But I love that question, though. I'm getting a nice list of books that are recommended by all these successful learning leaders now. You have been a wonderful guest today, Theta. I thank you so much for joining us. I know you and I are both experiencing the same weather in Atlanta, so we both sound a little bit hoarse from a
yes.
There's a hurricane
yes.
going through. As our thank you to you, I would like to plant 5 trees in your name. That's our charity at Training Pros, is we plant trees every time we put a consultant to work with client. We've planted over 4,000 trees to date. So I'm going to plant 5 trees on the Monarch Restoration Project, where we're planting trees on the Monarch migration path to help encourage the monarchs to replenish.
Very nice. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. And thank you for sharing with our audience. That's it for this week on Learning Leader Spotlight. I hope you can join us again next week for our next Learning Leader. Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us for the latest episode of Learning Leader Spotlight, interviews with corporate L&D leaders. You'll find links in the show notes to any resources mentioned on today's show. If you're enjoying our podcast, please subscribe so you never miss an episode and leave us a 5-star review.